serious. I was at a church camp, at a youth camp, and at 12 years old, I heard a voice speak to me and said, Steve, you're going to be a minister. You're going to be a pastor. And that's the time when I decided, no, I'm not. As I didn't want to have nothing to do with that. I seen what they did to ministers. You know what? People are crazy. I'll tell you straight up. You know, ministers, they got it rough. You know, I'm telling you, everyone thinks it's hunky-dory. Look at Pastor Ken. He had a full head of hair 3 years ago. Look at mine. No, joking. But this is my thinking. I seen, like, man, pastors, really? I don't have nothing to do with that. But God's plan was set in motion for me a long, long time ago. Before I was even, my mother would say, before you're even a twinkle in your father's eye. I was like, Mom, that's gross. Some of you are getting that. Okay, anyway. But so this plan that God had set before me, I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. It wasn't until later on that an older gentleman came to me, and he actually fished with my father. And he said, Steve, he said, when you were a little boy, you were about 5 or 6 years old, I grabbed you, and I put you up in the skipper's chair to boat. And I fished with your father then. And he said, Steve, he said, I prayed over you. And he said, Steve, I asked God that you would not become a fisherman, but you would go into the ministry. I wanted to slap him. Uncle Lim was his name. And a great, great man, still alive, love him to bits. Now I do. And we go back a little further, and you look at my grandmother on my dad's side. This is the whole fishing family. And she was a very, very strong Pentecostal woman. And, you know, she was Sunday school superintendent. Those of you remember those when they used to have that in the Pentecostal place. I guess they still do that, I guess. She was a Sunday school superintendent, and she was leader to Mission Hits, leader to WM. You know, they were all involved in all the different things that were on the go. My grandmother was very involved. She came from a very strong Christian heritage. Her family, you go back far enough, they were basically the ones that actually brought the Holy Ghost, the Pentecostal movement to my area where I grew up. It was a part of her family and her heritage and stuff. And so she was a big, strong, you know, she had a big backbone. Years ago, she had done a correspondence Bible school, all those things. And she knew she had a calling of God on her life. And she didn't necessarily know what it was all about. My grandfather, he was a fisherman. And he was a bit of a different man. Yeah, I was very close to him growing up. He passed away when I was 10, and I was devastated. He was my best friend when I was up to age 10. I had my own bedroom at my grandparents' house and all those things. But he was a fisherman, and he was a bit of a different man. You know, he was okay with church, but not very active, we'll say. And, you know, I loved him to bits and all those things, but it was a little different for me. Because here was my grandmother, and she was all sold out, and here was my grandfather on the other side. You know, kind of, you know, two different sides of the spectrum there. And so, my father, he became a fisherman, because it was the right thing to do. But yet, he was involved in church quite a bit. And so what I'm just showing you a little bit of a history here now, because you can see, because even before I was born, you can see that Christian heritage and that ministry calling that was placed way, way back years ago in my family, and it carried on through. You see, the Holy Spirit was doing a job. And on my mother's side of the family, where the Pellies, that's their last name, and my grandfather there, Eric Pelly, was a pastor for many, many years. He preached, and I believe it was a total of 50 years he was in the ministry. And so he was in a lot of churches. And so he was a logger. He was a woodsman for a while. And then he felt the call of God. They had 13 kids. Newfoundland had cold winters back then, I guess. And so I'm telling you this story. Hold on, bear with me. I'm going to make a long story longer. We're going to continue on here. You guys okay with this? You like hearing this? And so my grandfather had 13 kids. This is on my mom's side. Pop Pelly. Now he was a very fiery Word of Faith Pentecostal pastor, if you believe it or not. And he was one of the originals, because he was a faith man, if there ever was a faith man. And it wasn't until I got a little older I started really looking back at my heritage and seeing where I've come from, and I had no choice to be whatever this is. Because the Lord had set it up that way. Now, I got all these things behind me on both sides of the family, but still I gravitated to not wanting to be in the ministry. Why is that? Well, you see, for me personally, I did not have the Holy Spirit alive in me. I knew about him. You know, I had spoken in tongues, but I did not have that fire, that glow on the inside. You following me here? And so, for me, it was one of those things is that I'm just going to do what I know best, and that's become a fisherman. And so that's what I did. And I worked on the boats, and I, you know, all this. I didn't have nothing to do with God at that time. I was struggling. I was going through different issues. You know, I was making lots of money, but I was just miserable. Absolutely miserable. And, you know, I was looking back at it now. I actually felt lonely, and I felt all types of thinking. I was always surrounded by people, you know. So what was going on there? Well, I was right up in the middle of nowhere, hanging out with polar bears and walruses. And that's no joke. There was polar bears and walruses. And I remember one day, and when we were between fleets of gear, hauling in the nets, and as we're steaming along, we spotted this polar bear. We seen one polar bear, and I was like, wow, that's awesome. So I climbed up on the top deck of the boat, and I climbed it right over the front. You know, like in the movie Titanic, you got Jack and Rose hanging it over like this? Okay? I actually sat down and had my feet hanging out over the front of the boat and just kind of looking and watching. And then we seen another polar bear. And I actually, so there was two. And I'm like, wow, this is fantastic. This is so cool. You don't get to see this very often, you know. This is like National Geographic at its finest. So here we are now. We're all up on the deck. And we're all enjoying this and looking at this. And we're chasing the polar bears around, not hurting them, you PETA lovers. Okay? We were stayed back and just let them do their thing. But we were just following them from a safe distance. And all of a sudden, I started hearing something on the inside of me. And I tried, this is a voice that I was trying to suppress for quite a few years. And it was telling me, Steve, I created all this. Steve, it's time for you to start doing what I want you to do. And you know, when you're up in the Arctic and you're on a 116-foot boat with 16 other guys, you don't have a whole lot of space to run. Okay? You're either going to get wet, cold, or wet or cold. That's it. You know? And so I had to get up to the Arctic to hear the voice of God and for me to make up my mind and a decision that, yeah, you know what, I'm finally going to yield to what the Spirit, what God is talking to me about. Now, you see, in that time in my life, I had no clue what I was going to be doing. But I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Bible school. I'm going to do what was bred into me. I'm going to go be a good Pentecostal little boy, you know, and I took off to a Pentecostal Bible school in Alberta. And, you know, here is the thing. That's not where God wanted me to be. That is not what God had intended for me to be. That was not God's best for me. That's where I wanted to go. So I was partially submitted over to God to the point to where, yes, I'm going to go get ministry training, but it was not what he wanted, and it was definitely not what he had in store for me. So we packed up and moved out there. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. It was the worst experience of my life. Like, I never experienced something so bad before. And nothing to, you know, not to talk bad, but it was me personally and just the things that would happen and the stuff that would go down. It was just ridiculous. I remember one night we woke up and SWAT team was flying it over our apartment. And they were in our neighborhood with their fully automatic guns or whatever they had all dressed up. Come knocked on the door. Stay inside. Don't come out until we tell you to. Okay? It's like, what? Whatever could go wrong did go wrong. And so I remember one night I sat down and I was watching a broadcast online, and it was actually a Praise the Lord, and Brother Rod Parsley was there. And so I was watching Brother Rod, and I have no clue what he said. I wouldn't be able to tell you what he preached on. But I know I almost ruined a perfectly good laptop computer with tears, because I sat to my desk and I cried and I weeped and I weeped and I weeped and I weeped and I cried and I cried and I weeped, and then guess what? I kept crying and weeping. Until I didn't think there was no tears left, and then all of a sudden they came again. I sat there for the full service, an hour and a half, just crying my eyeballs out. And you know what was happening to me? The Holy Spirit was talking to me. And man, he was shaking me up. He said, Steve, once again, you've tried to do this on your own. And you're not happy. You're not doing this right. He said, you need to do the things that you need to do. You need to follow me if you want things in your life to work out. Picked up the phone when I could talk, and I called my dad. And I started trying to talk to Dad. Dad! He's like, what's wrong, Steve? And I couldn't even talk to him. I was like, he's like, what is wrong with you? He's like, everything okay? Yes. Well, why are you crying? I don't know. You know, there's this whole conversation going on. So finally, I managed to regain enough composure, and I told Pops what was happening. And he said, Steve, he said, this is what you need to do. He said, it's almost Christmas time. And me and Kendra, we were engaged at the time. He said, you need to come home, and we'll talk about this. Me and your mother got some information that we want to talk to you about, something we want to share with you. I said, okay. Sounds good. So this was a couple weeks, or probably just a few days, actually, before we left to go back home for Christmas. So we packed up our stuff and took off, and we got home, and I sat down with my dad, and Dad looked at me with Mom, and he threw something at me. He said, I want you to look at this. It was one of those Word of Faith magazines. I said, what's this? He said, look in the back. And I opened up the back, and I looked at it. Rhema Bible Training Center. What in the world is a Rhema Bible Training Center? He said, you've heard of Kenneth Hagin's teaching and preaching and stuff before. I said, yeah. I said, you have it on in the truck all the time. He's like, well, me and your mother, the reason we went on this trip, when we went down to Nashville, is we wanted to go over to Oklahoma and check out this place. I said, oh? He said, yeah. And he said, in September, your mother, myself, and the children, we're packing up and we're moving to Oklahoma and we're going to Bible school. I kind of looked at him. I'm getting married this summer. He goes, yep, 2 weeks after you're married, we're out of here. And I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, you're crazy. What are you doing that for? And all of a sudden, it clicked with me. And I heard it as clear as if someone would say, so you're going to go too. It wasn't my dad said that. He handed me the CD, A Place Called There, and I listened to it. And it wasn't 15 minutes after I heard that, I was like, Pops, I need an application. Where do I get an application? I called Kendra, and Kendra lived 3 hours away from me in her town. I called Kendra. I said, Kendra, guess what? I'm not going back to Vanguard. I'm not going back to Alberta. What? She said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm not going back there no more. And she's like, and I'm like, we're supposed to be getting married this summer. She's like, well, what do you mean? We talked about it, and we discussed what was going on, all that stuff. She said, well, I'm going to have to talk to my parents about this. And I said, well, you do what you got to do. And so she talked to her parents, and her mom and dad got on the phone. We talked about everything and all this stuff, and she called me the next day, and she said, yeah, I'm coming. We filled out our applications, and you know what? The joy of the Lord became so alive in me, man, is when we got there, we got married. It was a joyous time, hallelujah. That was 10 years ago this year, coming July. Hallelujah. You know, Cindy's a special woman, man, to put up with you for 20 years. And Kendra, same thing. 10 years in? My Lord. To put up with foolish guys like us? I'm telling you.
Pastor Romo's,
that's right. We're 10 years apart, aren't we? This is Monty Kendra's 10th year, yours 20th year, and Pastor Romo's 30th year. Look at that. I was born in 1987. He was born again in 1987. And Pastor and Miss Anita were married in 1987 as well. You tell me that the Holy Spirit is not at work in this place. Because, you know, oh, that's only numbers. That's a coincidence. No, that's God. Because we ended up going to Oklahoma, and whatever we had, we were like the Beverly Hillbillies, because Grandma was actually with us. I got 6 pages of notes, and I haven't even looked at yet. Pastor Roman, the last words he said to me, he said, you're going to show up, and the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. He said, just flow with it. I said, but I got notes ready. But this is what I'm supposed to be talking about, maintaining a Spirit-filled life. And we'll get there, I promise. Because this is talking about maintaining a Spirit-filled life. Because once I got there and I realized that this being in the will of God for your life has benefits. Because your life will never be the same. Things will change for you. So where I was supposed to be at that time was at Rhema. I started asking God a quarter of the way through second year. I said, God, all my friends that I'm here with now, they know where they're going after graduation. I want to know by Christmas where I'm going. That gives you lots of time. And so, I was believing God for that. And we had our friends from Ireland, David and Claire, and they talked to us, and they came, brought us one side, and they said, Steve, we're going back to Ireland, and we're going to start a church. And he goes, he was a pastor before, he wanted to come over and get some good teaching, we'll call it. And he said, me and Claire talked about this. They said, we want you and Kendra to come over with us to Ireland. I said, wow, that's cool. Go to Ireland. But then I realized, that's a long ways away. And all those little people are going to scare me. I'm like, well, you know what? I'm part Irish. I could fit in there. I talk funny like them. It could work. It could work. It could totally work. But you know what? With that offered, that was not where I was supposed to go. And so, something on the inside, it just didn't fit right, Pastor Ken. It just didn't, you know, and the offers, and they came at us a couple times. And you know what? We want you guys to come with us. You know, it'd be awesome if you guys would come with us. You know? Yeah, we want you to come. We were really close, really good friends. And yeah, they want you to come with us. I said, okay, yeah, well, you know, well, pray about it. I didn't have to pray about it, because I knew what the Lord was telling me on the inside. So this one day, my parents came home from school before me and Kendra, or me and Kendra was home before them. They came home after us, and they said, we just stopped by Miss Karen Jensen's office, and she handed us a phone number. She said, there's a church up in Canada. To them, everything is Canada. There's no separate providence. Providence. Like, it's like, you know so-and-so? They live in Alberta. I'm from Newfoundland. You have any idea how far apart that is? Well, I just thought everything was like Canada. No, we got different provinces, dude. Like, come on. But anyway, and there's a church up there in Canada, and they have, you're looking for some youth pastors. So my parents gave it, and Dave and Clear happened to be there. And Dave looked at me. He said, Steve, you better call. And this is the same guy that told me that he wanted me to come with him to Ireland. He said, you better call. I said, you change your tune quick. He said, don't waste no time. Call right away. Call right now. I said, no. He said, call right now, Steve, in his Irish accent. I'm like, okay, I'll call. I called the number. 807-344-1956. Went in three rings, and guess who picked up the phone? Hello? Hi, it's Steve Huzzy calling. I was given your number from Karen Jensen at the Rhema, and apparently you guys are looking for youth pastors?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering, you know, we're getting ready to graduate here in a few months, and you know, what if I could send you a resume or whatever? He said, yeah, get it done up, send me a resume, and what's your email address? All those, okay, I don't know if you've ever called the church before. Pastor never answers the phone. But he answered the phone. We sent off our resume, and a short time later, there was one back from Miss Anita. I didn't know. And from Pastor. I know Miss Anita typed it up. And they invited us to come up on spring break. Well, I said, well, praise God. I called them back and said, yeah, we'd love to come up. He's like, okay. He said, we'll figure out a place for you to stay, all those things. Just come on up, and you know, we'd love to meet you, and we'll do some stuff, yada, 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 click. That was this is like the extent of our phone calls, okay? So I said, okay. I said, Kendra, we're getting ready to go. And I knew before we left that was going to be home. I knew I was going home. It was unbelievable, the feeling that God had given me, the peace of God. Before we even left, I had the peace of God. And you know how what confirmed it for me was home? Because the day before we left, we faced every turmoil, trial, vehicle issue you could have before we were supposed to get on the road. Devil, you get out of here. I'm going home. And so I had to tell him where to go and how to get there. And we all know where the devil needs to go, right? So we got up there, and it was me and Kendra, and we took my baby sister with me, Araya. Y'all remember Araya, the brown one? Yes, I have a brown one in my family. She's adopted. She's from Thailand, bless her heart. And so she came up with us, and we hung out for a full week up here. Uncle Ed was one of the first guys I met, you know? And we got to hang out with some different people around here, and you kids were kids then. The teenagers were, they were literally kids then. I mean, little ones. And now look at them. My goodness, they're all sassy, every one of them. But man, it was fantastic. We got up here, we had a fun. Me and Kendra looked at each other one night. We sat down and we're talking to Sean Kavar. And I said, man, this place is awesome. He said, yeah. He said, it kind of grows on you, doesn't it? I said, man, I feel like I'm at home. He's like, I just love this place. Yeah, and I talked to Pastor and spent some time with Pastor, and we talked about stuff. I said the same thing. I said, man, I love this place. This is awesome. Beautiful church, beautiful people. And Pastor Kenny's okay. I remember when we sat down in the office, Pastor Ken came out and he handed me a pen and a notebook. He said, here you go. He handed me that, and this is compliments of Faith City Church. I remember that. Plain as day that he gave me that. Wow.
That's all I've done since.
And that's all he's given me since. Something free from the church, not even out of his own pocket. No, I'm joking. He's a good big blessing, that man. But when everything got straightened away, before we left, Pastor and Miss Anita sat us down in their office, and they said, we'd like for you guys to come back. We'd like for you guys to come and move here. Well, I already knew on the inside that this was home. And I don't even think I even consulted Kendra. It's okay. And we moved here, man. And you talk about feeling full of the Holy Ghost and feeling so full of God. You see, man, it was fantastic. I went off. It was hard for me to focus the rest of that year because I was so excited. I can't wait to come back home. I was so excited to start doing what God had called me to do. Little did I know the things that I would be doing. But can I be honest with you? When you're walking with God, let's turn to that scripture verse. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what is the will of the Lord is. Verse 18. And not be drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, little did I know that God had a big plan, a big purpose for me and my family, that we would have children here, that we would put our roots down here, that this will be where God has planted us. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit had set us apart and had showed us, okay, this is what you're going to be doing for the next little while. This is the way it's going to happen. So first, you need to get on track with God. Second of all, you need to get the right training, the right teaching. Third of all, you got to be obedient. You got to get hooked up with like-minded people. And fourth, you got to start walking after God's will. That's what I started doing. That's what we started doing, me and my wife. And here we are, 8 years or so later, and we're still here. You couldn't get rid of us even if you wanted to now. Not even if you wanted to. Not even if you wanted to. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. I told you that my testimony, my story tonight, because I want you guys to know something. Is that God's will and God's purpose for your life is not what you think it is. It's bigger than what you think it is. But don't mess it up by being stupid. I'm going to be blunt here. Because I had ample opportunities, and I did start screwing up my life. And I was headed down a very dangerous path and a very dangerous road to where I would not be where I am today. But by the grace of God and God's mercies, amen, and God leading me by the Holy Spirit, and that I was being... that. I had a glimpse of obedience, just a little bit of obedience, that I was willing to let God take control of my life so that he could take me and move me from one place to the other. Went from Newfoundland to Oklahoma. I didn't know what Oklahoma was. Let alone know what a Thunder Bay was. The extent of what I knew about Thunder Bay was that I knew that there was a groundhog up here. There was a groundhog up here. My grandmother told me, but it was actually in Geraldton. I don't know. That's the extent of the stuff that I knew. And it was funny. We got up there, and it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to Geraldton and do the church outreach. The groundhog! I couldn't make this stuff up even if I tried. Like, this is real as it gets, man. This is my life story, I'm telling you. Wait till the motion picture comes out. Brad Pitt's playing me. I want Pastor Ken to play Pastor Ken, though. I'm saying all of this for the last half hour. I still haven't got to my notes. But guys, to maintain a spirit-filled life, you have to be obedient to the Word of God, yielded to the Spirit, and walking day by day in what the light that God has shed before you. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So if you're ever confused and wondering, well, but wait, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? You got to stir yourself up a little bit. See, we're supposed to be continually filled up. We're not supposed to be, you know, once in a while. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't say partly filled. It doesn't say sometimes filled. But be filled. That's actually a present tense, right now. So guys, right now, we're supposed to be filled. And you know what a characteristic of being filled is? You're a crazy, happy, loving person. Sometimes we don't feel like that now, do we? Sometimes we always don't feel like a happy, loving, caring person now, do we? But you see, the scripture verse goes on and tells us that we're supposed to be singing psalms and hymns. See, when we got a spirit-filled life, it's on the inside of us. What we put in, it's got to come out. Right. Amen? And so this is where we start stirring ourselves up. Even when you don't feel like you got the joy of the Lord and it doesn't feel like, well, I really don't know what's going on. Start stirring yourself up. Amen. Start changing the way you're thinking. Yes. You make yourself do what needs to be done. You got to chastise the flesh every now and then. It's not always the easiest thing in the world to do, but you got to shake it up. You got to stir yourself up. Because if you want what God's got set before you and got the perfect plan for you, you got to do the work. God's already done it. The perfect plan of redemption has already been done. We just celebrated Easter. Right? Jesus died on the cross, took our sin, our sickness, our disease, all of our yuckies to hell, kicked the living tar out of Satan, and he rose triumphant. Seated at the right hand of the Father in place of all authority. The hard work is done. We get to frolic in the victory. We get to have fun. We get to enjoy life. Reign as kings in life, Scripture tells us. Stand on your feet tonight. Isn't it awesome to know that, I want the music team to come back, that we reign as kings in life. Isn't it good to know that, you know what? You might not necessarily be walking the right path. You might not necessarily right now be on the road that God wants you to be on. But guess what? God is full of mercy and grace. He is full of love and patience. Okay? He wants us to be filled. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be doing what He's called us to do. You might have to go from Newfoundland, Alberta, back to Newfoundland, to Oklahoma, to finally reach Thunder Bay home. You might have to be a Harlem Globetrotter for a little while. Burn out several sets of tires on your vehicle. But praise God, you're only sowing seed into the kingdom. When you're following after God's heart and following after His plan for your life, you can't be wrong. It's not the wrong thing. It's the right thing to do. So we have to have that joy. When you don't feel like, when you're feeling, well, God, what do you want me to do? Check your spirit life. Father God, I haven't really heard from you in a while. What's going on? It's not that he hasn't been trying to get your attention. The Word of God is our direct letter from God to us. He's constantly trying to direct us and tell us on what we're supposed to be doing. He just doesn't, oh, you're born again. Oh, good, this is what you're going to do in life. And you know everything. That's just not the way it works. We wouldn't be able to handle that. But praise God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him, and what? He shall direct your path. You don't worry about the stuff. You let God worry about it, and you just walk in what he's got set before you. Amen? So what's your spirit like? You may say, well, Pastor Steve, you know what? I got filled with the Spirit. I started speaking in tongues a while ago. The scripture verse said, be filled. Continually, we're supposed to be filled. Some of us, it might have been a while since we've been tanked up. Stretch your hands towards heaven right now, and if you feel like, you know what, I really need to get a fresh anointing from God, I need to get hooked back up with the Father. If that's you, you stretch your hands up. You just start asking him to start filling you up right now. You just start receiving in your seat. Just stir yourself up right now. Even though you might not feel like doing it, you do it anyhow. Come on. Stir yourself up right now. Stir yourself up right now. Come on. Let's stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. Come on. He will direct your path. He will do what you need to do. You stop trying to do it on your own strength, your own mind. You stop trying to reason things out yourself. Go after what God has set before you to do. Come on, stir it up. Stir it up. Yes! Yeah! Woo! Hallelujah, Lord. Whoa! Yes, Lord, we thank you for the plans, the purposes you have for us, Lord. Father God, we stir ourselves up in you. Yes! 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 Whoa! Oh, stir yourself up. Come on. Come on. Stir yourself up. He under the robo, she under the robo, sata, da, 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 she under the robo, soto. He under the robo, she under the robo, sata, da, da. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Stir up the gift on the inside. Stir up that Holy Spirit on the inside. Amen. Okay, you need to eat more than once a day for your body to function. You need to do different things more than once. You need to wash every now and then or you really stinketh. If you like automobiles, you need to change your oil every about 5,000 kilometers or 10,000, depending on your make. If not, you're going to run into engine problems. The same thing applies with the Holy Spirit, is that we have to be continually topping ourselves up in the things of the Spirit so that we don't die spiritually. The Holy Spirit just reminded me and told me that. He said, somebody in this place needs to hear this because they need to get topped up again. So now, forget about who's next to you. Forget about what happened today. I want you, it's not me, God wants you to let him be filled. Fill yourself. Open yourself up so you can be filled by the Spirit. Come on.